Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what in heaven's name is going on?
So, this is a weird turn for someone and what their career has become or what their life has become. But you guys remember Rex Chapman, of course. You guys remember where, you know, the basketball player Rex Chapman,
big Kentucky kid, big star.
Yeah, so now he has become Mr. Viral Video. Like, his Twitter account has got almost 1 million followers, and he tweets out viral videos. The only thing about Rex Chapman is that, like, Rex Chapman sometimes will just take things and completely lie about where, like, what it is or where it came from. Like, there was one video. I mean, remember years ago when that video first came out of the city council person who had left the microphone on and went and used the bathroom and came back, and it was amazing. We played it years ago and it was just phenomenal. It's one thing to just discover something again and tweet it out there, but I mean, he said at a recent COVID-19 town hall, listen to this guy, he farts a lot, and it was, and like they had added like extra sound effects, and it was just like he puts that stuff out there. But I'll give him credit, because anytime he tweets out a video that might be kind of funny, I get a bunch of people tweeting it to me. So there was a commercial that he had that is funny. It's only about like, it's like 5 or 6 years old, but he didn't say it was new. But it's of this guy who is selling tractor trailers, and it's Coleman Liquidation Center.
Ah, Coleman Liquidation Center. Let me tell you a little something about Coleman. All right, he'll look you in the eye.
It's pretty funny. We might have actually even played it before, but I want to play it for you here real quick. So this is a commercial, and I believe it's out of, I think it's like Iowa or someplace like that. But this guy's standing in the middle of a field, and he's standing in front of a bunch of tractor trailers, and there's some of his employees with him, which are just like dudes who are smoking cigarettes. So let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Robert Lee. I own Coleman Liquidation. I sell mobile homes. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to tell it just like it is. These are mobile homes, not mansions. They come in two pieces. If that's what you're looking for, that's what I got. They're used. Some of them have stains. We cover that up. She decorates them. She sells them. These guys help me move them. Bouncer in Birmingham hit me in the face with a crescent wrench 5 times. And my wife's boyfriend broke my jaw with a fence post. So if you don't buy a trailer from me, it ain't gonna hurt my feelings. So come on down to Coleman Liquidation and get yourself a home. Or don't. I don't care.
America! America!
All right. So the one thing about, and it's funny, but that's not a real low budget commercial. That was a commercial that was made by these two comedians who like make these commercials that are supposed to look like they're low budget. I'm sure it didn't cost a ton, but I mean, they're kind of parodying low budget commercials. It is funny and it's good and it's effective, but I mean, why would you even think of that being a classic when right here, right all around the sports world, you've got some of the best low-budget commercials of all time. And which brings me to Fred, your friend the General, who is sponsoring the brand-new Rob Gronkowski and Shaquille O'Neal online techno dance party, which happens next weekend. Did you see this? It's sponsored by the General, which I know is one of your all-time favorite commercials.
The General mocks me. The General just sits there and mocks me. He just when Shaquille O'Neal has like a glass of like a cup of coffee, and he goes, "I used to be sponsored by the General when I was younger."
So the General can insure almost any car and any driver?
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the General when I was younger.
Okay, so low-budget commercials and athletes just seem to go hand in hand. And some of these guys...
they seem to make you exceptionally depressed, too, because you realize they're contacting people that can barely afford $2 insurance, and you're sitting there with everyone watching the same program at the same time.
Right. You're like, they apparently think I'm somebody who needs this type of insurance.
Yeah, it's like, you know, do I want to go to Le Cordon Bleu or do I want to get the General Insurance or perhaps both?
Sure, but I was thinking about it and I'm watching this commercial and it's like, why is it that athletes and low budget commercials just go hand in hand? And really, there weren't many better than when a certain car dealership couldn't get the rights to the term Red Sox, so they ended up getting one of their stars and had
Tablebon. This is in Bishop Kenny High School Baseball. You're in the game.
Give me a minute, coach. I'm buying a vehicle at 125auto.com. Oh, I found it. Click, send, done.
Of course. And then he's actually in the dugout at like a high school.
No, he's not in a dugout. He's on a bench. I mean, there's like no dugout. It's just a fence. It's like a bad Little League field.
he's pitching in front of nobody.
Yeah,
there's no crowd.
Yeah, to say dugout makes people think that they're like in a concrete structure that part of it is under the ground. No, it's like what I played on, what my kid plays on. Yeah, they're just a bench behind a fence, yes.
Papelbon, this isn't Bishop Kenny High School, which everyone knows that you went to. You're in the game. And he orders a car, and it drives him, like a Hummer drives him to the mound, which I'm sure you could do. But there was also a follow-up to that. It was almost like a saga. You had to find out what happened next.
Mr. Papelbon, what's the best thing about pitching in Beantown?
Come to the park of my Hummer for 125 auto. Can you believe I paid under 39 grand?
Doesn't it give you chills when you walk in the ballpark?
It gives me chills driving to the park of my Hummer from the megastore. My teammates can't believe the incredible deal I got.
Sean, you pitch for the greatest team in baseball.
Yeah, but I also pitch for the best dealer in New England. The 125 Megastore. You can't beat their selection and the prices will blow you away.
Just call us the Megastore.
And of course,
what is he even? I don't even know what he's selling.
He's because there's a good Megastore.
There's a good portion of that where he's just like, yeah, so I'm and he's like, you get one take, kid. And he's like, flicks his cigarette away.
Like, he can't stop, like, smiling at the camera, like, hey, there's a light shining at me. It's kind of shiny. Hey, hey, 123 Megastore, randomly, I'm on a laptop, like a gigantic clunky-ass laptop, sitting on this bench. There's no one at the game, but I'm dressed in something that doesn't say Boston. It just says baseball on it. And then they drive me out to the mound, and everything's great. Let's buy a car. And then, of course, there's a CGI animated, like, character that comes out, which is another staple of, like, the low-budget commercial, is when there's, like, a CGI-type character, like a mascot. But, I mean, when it comes to these type of commercials, you know, did it get any better than just a restaurant according to, I need an oral history of this. So somebody who's listening on one of these many, like the Boston Sports Journal or the Athletic, I need an oral history of the greatest low budget Boston sports commercial of all time.
Ooh.
And that being the Celtics Scotch and Sirloin Toast video. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've seen it several times.
From what I've heard, everybody of course, except for Mr. Danny Ainge, was loaded when they filmed this commercial, as apparent by the actual commercial itself.
No, man, it's the prime rib. Yeah. Prime rib.
Lobster.
Ooh. I tell you, it's the salad bar. Oh.
Well, boys, after a meal like this, there's only one way to show our appreciation.
Whoa. I'm a whore.
Whores for everyone. And I guess the Scotch and Sirloin, you should just let them go over there after games and just eat all they want. I was like, listen, just, I ask you one thing. Can we just bring a camera in here real quick and you can say four lines? Like, yeah, okay. Sure, man.
No, the best athlete, and I don't know, it's not going to do it justice even if you have it. It's a Mike Francesa.
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought this up.
It's Bill Parcells.
Focus of them eating, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, gross. He goes, it's the chicken masala.
That's right.
And then he's like, whatever. And then, no, it's the blah, blah, blah. And then it just gradually goes in on their mouths. Oh, food. You're like, that's gross. The place I want to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
but
I thought
look at the friendship between those two.
And that was 80s, too, or like early 90s. So that made it even like more gross and depressing. Yep. But now, sometimes you have an athlete that, you know, maybe you should have thought through having them be your endorser. And that is, in a case, let's go to Timofey Mozgov. Timofey Mozgov, if you're not aware, is a very large Russian man. He's Russian, right?
Yes.
Timofey?
I believe so. Timofey Mozgov.
You've seen him in the NBA. Very large gentleman.
Yep.
And he's doing a commercial for, well, we'll just let you hear him explain it. Hit it, Dan.
Get this weak stock out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Now hiring both locations.
Okay, all right. So if you understood what he was saying, he's
not so fast with that marketing campaign. I don't know if you're going to get through training. Now hiring. Well, I wonder why.
Get this weak stock out of here.
Get that weak stock out of here.
The Brew Garden.
The Brew Garden, we like to break things.
Fantastic people.
You like
my home away from home.
You like
Brew Garden.
Now
noise from the kitchen that makes you get scared and wince. That's the Brew Garden. Hey, at the Brew Garden, we drop things. Hey, want to tell your girlfriend you're breaking up? We drop plate. Hey. Telling your wife that a family member going to die? Uh-oh, I dropped a pen.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
So they knew by the time he filmed that commercial, I think the response was like, what? What did he say? So they're like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in a waitress who is very busty, and we're going to have him...
Look at the boobs on this broad.
So they have her stand on...
Brumsky, Brumsky, Brumsky.
Some sort of box. So
what's his name again?
Timofey Mozgov.
Timofey
likes huge boobs.
Timofey Mozgov inside of this.
Check out these cans.
Okay, that's what he's saying.
And I'm not talking about peas. I'm talking about this woman's breast.
Yes, that's right.
So, she makes fine baby.
So he's standing next to this waitress, and they're like, all right, maybe we let her take a little bit of the load off of him and let her do some of the speaking. But you still, at some point, you know, you paid for Timofey Mozgov. You want him to speak at least a little bit. So let's listen to the follow-up to that commercial.
Hi, Mozgov.
Hi, Liz. You are my favorite daytime bartender at the Brew Garden. You really raised the ceiling.
And fabulous food, fine spirits, and fantastic people. Come visit me at the Brew Garden.
Brew Garden. You had me at hello.
What a...
I want to hear what he says after the smash.
Now it's going to take another 3 years of waiting in line to get more pot. Hey, Heather, you're my favorite daytime bartender. I like you and the guys that shake.
Oh, hang on. I'm being made aware by Mr. Joe Murray of, I haven't seen this. So I guess the first year that Patrice Bergeron came here, him and Andrew Raycroft made a commercial. Oh, God, what is this for? But it's like a skit. So skit commercials with athletes are always the best.
Get that weak stuff out of here. Bring in big boob lady. Well, this chick is really good. Well, this thing, they just said, hey, how do you do? I go into the daytime bar.
You're my favorite daytime bartender at the Brew Garden. You really raised the ceiling.
And fabulous food, fine spirits, and fantastic people. Come visit me at the Brew Garden.
Oh, that is a genius commercial. They just went, "Hey, Boobs McGee." And they had her on like a box.
It's like cartoonish. Right, yeah, she's way high up.
Yeah, and she's like a daytime bartender. All right, I'm alkying it up. Let's go. Let's ride. Daytime bartender, dear Lord.
I got to hear this Bergeron commercial because, I mean, this is one that I've not heard
before.
Wouldn't
that be funny if there was like an ugly chick and he goes, "Get that weak stuff out of here. You, daytime bartender, you come."
Let me hear that first clip. Get that weak stuff out of here.
Get this weak stuff out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden.
They brought the ugly
fabulous
one, yeah.
Food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Now hiring both locations.
Get that weak stuff out of here. Bring in Boob Lady.
Sounds like Arnold when he was doing that play-by-play almost.
Now, you know, she's fat. Here we go. You know, she takes off the fat suit. And look, she's not fat, and it's me.
The pump.
Yes, you're a big fan of that. Yes, you are.
Yeah, the pump. Get that weak stuff out of here. Oh, look, you. Hey, daytime bartender, want to make love? All right. Very good. Well, listen, I don't even know who that guy is.
It's Timothy Mozgov. You know, now he's the star of the blah, blah, blah beer garden commercial.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused.
Toucher and Rich.
What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what in heaven's name is going on?
So, this is a weird turn for someone and what their career has become or what their life has become. But you guys remember Rex Chapman, of course. You guys remember where, you know, the basketball player, Rex Chapman.
Big Kentucky kid. Yeah, yep. Big star.
Yeah, so now he has become Mr. Viral Video. Like, his Twitter account has got almost 1 million followers, and he tweets out viral videos. The only thing about Rex Chapman is that...
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bang, bang. I gotta beat
need this damn lot, it's only 10:50. They open doors at 11, but yo, I'm in a rush. I got the money to swing it, it's all Ken Griffey. But so does this bum in front of me, smelling like a lush. And there's a woman in front of him who forgot to brush. She's in pajama pants, sipping on an orange crush. The door's open, let's get it going, let's speed it up. They're looking up at the menu like they ain't seen it once.
985 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And that is Esoteric, of course.
Did you hear, you know, this story is about waiting in line for a burrito. And when he went to go pick up a order that he had placed over at one of the, I think it was a Chipotle, when he showed up, it said a four, and they wrote Czarface on the side. So those people who worked at the burrito place had obviously heard this song where he was ripping on the service. So he does have a legit complaint to start the entire thing. If you are a fast food restaurant that opens for lunch, you have to open at 10:30. 11 o'clock is way too late. There are some people who like to eat lunch early, and 11 is just that is not, and 11:30 is just, that's unacceptable. You got to start, you got to open those things 10:30 at least. I've sat in a parking lot of many a Chipotle waiting to get into 11, and it's not fair. It's not fair to us working men getting there early.
That's why when you go to Arby's, they're just like, we're open. Even if you have to wake the guy who you know, makes all the sandwiches up. Mm-hmm. He comes down in a nightshirt with like a gas lamp. Can I help you? Yes. Can I have a roast beef sandwich? Yes. And then he goes about his business. You got to go to one of those local joints.
Sure.
Like the Rees, like the Arby's. My kids are with my parents. Stephanie's picking them up next Friday, a week from today. And I think my parents are going to be exceptionally excited that they're gone. But they've been gone there, down there for 9 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I think that. And then what's bad for them is that we're going back at the end of August. So they're probably like, get these people out of here. Jesus. Ugh. Leave me alone. It's 78, 9 weeks of kids. Plus all the crap with me that you got to deal with when I'm down there. Not good.
At what point do the parents give in and take them over to Dollywood, the Dolly Parton-themed amusement park that's right up the street?
Well, the thing is that they got my daughter in baking school, which goes from 8:30 to 4 every day. Oh. Not too shabby. And they get my son's on a team, a baseball team down there.
Oh.
So he actually has games and whatnot. He's over there playing. Hmm. You know, the Southern style. You know, his coach? Ex-Yankee.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ex-Yankee. And every time he takes batting, every time he works on him with hitting, he throws one fastball at him, which my son enjoys so much. He goes, like, here's an 85-mile-an-hour fastball. And my son's like, wow, neat. That's great.
Can't hit that. Thanks for throwing it, though.
No, he's like, hey, get a load of this. And, the guy's, you know, he's not going to hit him. I mean, the guy's got, you know, he's throwing. Maybe it's more like 80 or 82. But, you know, those guys can just, without even trying. But, yeah, he throws, like, a nice 82-mile-an-hour, 85-mile-an-hour fastball past my son. And giggles and giggles and giggles. Mm. And my son says, please never do that again. You've scared the absolute hell out of me. So they get to come back here, though, and do nothing. So good for them. Hmm. That is going to be a good time for them. Good time had by all.
They need to go. I'm telling you, if they head on up to Gatlinburg up the street, that's essentially if you took. Oh God, they call. I mean, what's the name for it? It's got some sort of like
Branson, Missouri.
It's basically Branson, Missouri, but even like, you know, a little more redneck. As I said, it's all based around Dolly Parton's amusement park.
Well, that's Pigeon Forge.
Well, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, right next to each other.
Yeah, like, well, you don't have to tell me the geography, my friend.
You know you're at the right exit because as you take the exit to Seaverville or whatever they call it in Pigeon Forge, there is a gas station that has a massive shrine to Richard Petty, the racer. A
hell
gigantic
yeah.
Head of his. Like, somebody made this massive paper mache. I don't know what it is. It's just some sort of massive statue of Richard Petty's head.
Oh, my God.
So you're like, now, yeah, you're in God's country when you see
you might as well just shoot coronavirus into your ass. Because, you know, my parents are 78.
They can't be going down to Pigeon Forge among the they're not mentally strong people down there. I mean, they're among the simple. I mean, if you get down there, I mean, you're truly with simple people.
Well, Fred, what's great, too, is that right next to Dollywood, the Dolly Parton-themed amusement park, is this place called the Dixie Stampede. Now,
oh, I know. Oh, they've been to Dixie Stampede several times. Now, okay. My mom's always like, do you want to go? And I'm like, oh, huh? Are these real questions? No, I don't want to go to the. I don't want to drive an hour to go to the stupid Dixie Stampede.
Fred, for the people who don't know what the Dixie Stampede is, imagine medieval times, except it's the Civil War, where it's kind of implied that the South won this time.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I mean, they don't want to, there's no spoilers. I mean, come on.
Oh, my God.
He's making it be too racist. Of course it's racist, but I mean, it's not that bad.
So you go to the Dixie Stampede, and everyone sits in their chairs, and they give you, like, food, and they're like, hey, how you doing? Oh, gosh, let's watch some good old-fashioned racism. Look at all these people fighting for slavery. Oh, they're just good old boys. So you've got one side, you know, with the big rebel flag, and then you got the other side, and they're America, and they fight. And by the way, there are boos when the North comes in. I'm not joking. Like, there are boos when the side of the North comes in, and they're, like, fighting each other. And at the end, there's really no loser in this, you know, Dixie Stampede version of the Civil War.
You don't want to upset the children. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone makes up and they're friends.
Right. They're all friends. Like, oh, well, we just did it together. America's great, even though we were fighting against America and being traitors. And, of course, we liked slaves. But listen, everyone, we can all get along. And, of course, everyone cheers. But, I mean, if you want to know where the biggest pop comes, it's not when Grant comes running in. No. You got the Robert E. Lee guy, and it's like, woo, you would have thought it was the 4th of July. So that, I wonder how they're going to deal with that over there. And that, the answer is probably not at all. So it's kind of
on like protests and everything?
No, I would think yes.
They would tell you it's a cowboy show. They would tell you that it's basically a cowboy show. You know, my dad was a cowboy.
Like a real cowboy?
Like a real cowboy in Montana.
Oh.
His uncle had a ranch in Montana. And my father grew up with a horse. Hmm. Used to put peanut butter in its mouth and pretend it talked. But just like Mr. Ed. No, but my father, if you looked at him now, you'd say, no, yeah, weren't. But for 3 summers, 1 summer he was learning, and the next 2 summers he was a full-on cowboy.
Mm.
Yeah. So he says, you know, save your horse, ride a cowboy. Mm. That's when he was, like, meeting the ladies. How do you do, ma'am? Mm-hmm. Want to ride a cowboy? And by that, I mean front rodeo style. All right, Rich, what do we have when we come back?
Well, you know what? We can talk about what's happened we can either talk about what happened with baseball, or we can get back into Kendrick Perkins, who once again is running his mouth in the best sort of way, except this time he's not targeting Kyrie Irving. He's targeting somebody else. So he's all sorts of angry at certain people, and I can't get enough of it, to be quite honest.
All right, so we'll hear all about that in just a moment.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Going to dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think the owners are more to blame in this situation than the players, much like you feel. However, Rob Manfred left that meeting with Tony Clark thinking 60 games, 100% prorated salary, that's going to be enough. And Rob basically said, look, we can't go to 70 games. I can't go over 60 games. And it wasn't like there was a handshake or an agreement, but he left that room thinking, I think we're going to get this done. And now we're back to they're not going to get this done. And now the distrust on both sides and the anger is there again.
Clouds, clown, ground you like terrible weather. Nobody does it better than I. So approve, I call it Simon. Most rappers is real hard, but still hardly rhyme.
To all,
rise and shine.
Give God glory.
I already give a percent of mine to Bert and Corey. And still got bills and employees to pay. So excuse me, Lord, we'll settle up towards the end of my days. My
ways 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And that is Wallach's best friend, Tim Kirchin, but he is a lot more negative than I've been reading other people and listening to other people talking about this. They believe that the fact that that Manfred flew out to meet Clark, that they met face-to-face afterwards, Clark was very civil. He was not argumentative about what had happened there. I guess there's some 11-day window and the union. They've agreed to the prorated salary. I mean, that's yeah. That's a big thing. It's believed that they're going to drop the league wants the players to say they won't sue. That the belief is that they'll do that.
Yep.
And a lot of people believe, okay, he went back to the players and said 70 games, and so the owners will go, all right, 65, maybe even 66 games. Let's just do this. Come on.
Fred, how does one side walk away from that meeting thinking there's a deal, and one side, in retrospect, adamant that they said there wasn't a deal?
Because it's a PR negotiating move? And maybe it also is...
Well, that's easy, John. I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump in, but it's the owners wanted that deal to happen. So they left saying, oh, yeah, it's a deal. But the players are saying, we didn't get a chance to come back and fire back a counterproposal. So that's easy how one side can say, oh, yeah, this is good.
And it gives Tony Clark a win. So it's true. If Manfred goes back, if Manfred comes out and says, hey, we have a deal, and then Tony Clark goes to his people and says, we don't have a deal.
Then Manfred gets like the jackass, right.
We're going to ask for 70 games. I have a feeling Manfred and Clark have it worked out, what they're going to do, when it's going to happen, and that it's just placating the players at this point.
I'm sure you guys, a lot of what you say is good common sense. It's just the fact that it's gone this far, and this is just another 2 or 3 days that us baseball fans have to go through this nonsense. Well, he said this, and they said that. You know, one side wants 60, and we're not moving off of that. One side wants 70.
But this one was not nearly as contentious as the other.
No, and you're right. Everything's basically agreed to except for the amount of games that they're going to play.
Right.
The waiver thing is out.
Hang on, everybody. The difference between 60 and 70 games is split down the middle. It doesn't take a genius. I mean, the owners aren't going to balk at playing 5 more games. So
then why is there a report that today from USA Today that they're not going to move off of 60?
Because that is Bob Nightingale, and he's probably talked to the 6 owners that are BS about this whole thing. Listen, the Yankees want to play. If the Yankees want to play, it's like LeBron wanting to play. If the Yankees want to play, then, you know, I would imagine unless you think I might be wrong, I'd imagine the Yankees have the ear of the commissioner.
I would imagine that's true. They have the second biggest payroll. They have one of the biggest media markets. They have history on their side. They have, you know, charismatic players, guys who hit bombs, hit dingers. Dingers in the lineup. They have the top salaried pitcher on staff. Yeah, I would imagine that that's probably true.
So, right. And then the players got what they wanted was the prorated salaries. The owners gave in on that.
But why did the players come back with a 60 or 70 game proposal when 2 or 3 days ago they were saying hashtag where and when, assuming they would get somewhere between 48 and 54 games? And now all of a sudden
because
they're like,
then they were going to because then they were going to sue. Or 50,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Then no, the players didn't. The players don't read any of this crap. The players were told that there was an escape hatch where they could sue the league. And so the belief is that the players' union will agree not to sue, put it in writing, and they'll – I mean, the difference between 10 games is not a lot. So give them 66 games, make them feel like $1 million, and get back to work.
It
seems to me a lot closer.
Yeah.
It is closer. We're a lot closer since they've agreed to all this stuff.
See, well, some people don't think so, but I mean, everyone besides
Ken
Nightingale.
Ken Rosenthal says within the next 24 hours it's going to happen.
I still think they're going to find a way to mess this up. I really do. I have no faith at all in either side, and most specifically in this commissioner.
Damaged. It's because you're damaged.
I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that at all. Rob Manfred is incompetent at what he does.
Well, is he incompetent what he does, or is he now being competent? And he's
in the nick of time. Yes.
Yeah, in the nick of time, he's being competent. I mean, okay, if the negotiations were so contentious, and of course they could fall apart, but if the negotiations are so contentious, why would he fly to Arizona to meet with Clark?
I think Clark requested
it. How about in the end?
Yeah, but why would I – hang on a second. But John just asked a question.
Yeah.
Because Clark asked for it. But, yeah, if I'm in a truly brutal – negotiation, I'm telling him to go screw. I'm not flying out there.
PR, and it worked out for him. Said, I met face-to-face. Manfred has literally nothing to lose by meeting Clark face-to-face. If he goes out there and it doesn't work out, he can say, you know what? I tried my best. He wanted a solo meeting. I was
now
happy
to do it. Now he cares about PR?
And now, well, yeah, now that the season's about to go up in flames, sure he does.
Well, the season was about to go up in flames when he talked to ESPN.
From 100% John, to not 100%, and that made him look bad. I agree.
Of course it did. But, John, if I'm in a negotiation that's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, I'm not giving up anything. And it was an act of good faith to fly out and to meet with Tony Clark face-to-face. They made a lot of progress on what will be accepted. And now it's basically just a difference in 10 games and agreeing not to sue.
The agreeing not to sue is a huge step. I agree.
Yes.
For the players. But I'm thinking, okay, you remember who the runner-up for this job was, Fred? The runner-up for commissioner job?
Tom Werner.
Harpro was the runner-up. I think Tom Werner, just honking every once in a while, could have done as good a job negotiating this.
He would have the ear of Tom Arnold.
Is in the end... He's going to have his league start before all the other leagues except outside the MLS. They're going to get a good 10.
You said leagues.
Yeah, I know. I should have thrown that in there. But it's going to start before hockey. It's going to start before the NBA. And he ended up saving the owners a ton of money. Like the players wanted over 100 games. So if you take a look at what's going to happen in the end, Manfred did a pretty good job. And I know through all this, it's been embarrassing. But if you were just to take the end of the season and in March tell me, all right, here's what's going to happen. There is going to be baseball. It's going to start before every other league. And the owners are going to be happy. And the players are going to be fine. Wouldn't you say, all right, good job?
It depends. I mean, if the season had started July 4th like it was supposed to, then yeah. But if you only have, what, a 10-day run-up before everything else starts again? I mean, I they're first technically, but I got to be honest with you.
They
any momentum they
any
get
earlier.
Will be
they
gone.
Have started any earlier.
If they
John.
Had gotten their act together, and you were talking about why didn't they meet face to face earlier? If they had gotten their act together earlier, they would have started July 4th.
Maybe. Now let's
they would have got a ton more publicity, and more people would have been interested.
Well, let's get to that because I don't mean to turn this into like a bigger picture type of deal. But when did things stop getting contentious with this negotiation? Is when he flew out there and they sat down and talked to each other one-on-one.
And why did Manfred initiate that earlier?
I agree, and I've said that. However,
isn't that kind of just a – doesn't that kind of encompass everything that's wrong right now with the internet and the coldness of sending emails and leaving comments and nobody actually sitting down and having a conversation? All of this has been a massive cluster F, and there's been shrapnel everywhere, and people have looked like douches. They've looked like whiny babies, people with all sorts of money complaining how they didn't have money, and then it's just it's been so bad visually for this. If all you do is just call the person or sit down and you talk one-on-one face-to-face, doesn't that kind of show how S gets done? Like, stuff gets done
okay.
When you're not a coward and you're hiding behind a
do
keyboard.
Do you think either side is going to learn from this? And when it's time for the big boy meeting in December of 2021, do you think they'll approach the negotiations differently? I don't. I don't
they
think any of it matters.
No, you're right. It may not. But in the end... just take a look. When stuff finally got done, it's when they went and met face-to-face. And I can't believe they hadn't done it up to that point. But they did it. And it sounds like it's going to happen.
They hadn't done it because they were in a contentious negotiation where that was not believed by either party to be pragmatic.
It didn't have to start that way, though. It didn't have to start contentious.
Yes, it did. It was. That's why people go through these negotiations. They were completely... The players' union thought that they had been screwed, and then the major and the owners thought that they had already had a deal in place, which they technically did. And so, yeah, it started off very contentious. It had to.
Three weeks ago, you could have gone, all right, there's a problem here.
That's not the way the business works. It's not a matter of flying out to see him. Flying out to see him was a concession and an act of an olive branch. And just getting crap done because you sat down in front of someone, that would have been maybe a huge waste of time because they were so far apart on things.
Was this negotiation conducted in the best interest of the sport, factoring in the fans and how much money they want to spend on the product moving forward?
I mean, if they play.
Yeah.
Well, if they play, there aren't going to be any fans in the stands. But if they play going into next year, do you think fans will keep a memory of this? Or do you think they'll be sheep like they've always been?
No.
Sheep.
It's going to be, hey, there's baseball. And look, we have
this doesn't even bother me. If they play, I don't care. Let them.
If they would have started after the NBA started, that would have pissed me off. But
right.
Now that they're starting 10 days early, they got the job done.
Yeah, and John is taking this awfully personally. It's like it's like Kramer versus Kramer.
Am I in that?
You're the kid.
Am I Hoffman or
you're
I'm the kid?
No, you're the kid while I'm they the kid. Fight around you.
Yeah, that's true. And Mommy and Daddy are fighting. That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, see, Rich, John is taking this way more personally. Like, he's gonna be the one guy that remembers that.
Yes, damn right I am.
A lot of people, you know, when something like, did you begrudge the NFL when they had the strike?
They weren't in the middle of a pandemic while they did it. They weren't in the middle of people losing their jobs. They weren't in the middle of billionaires and millionaires fighting over money while there are hundreds of thousands, millions of people that filed unemployment claims.
Business, listen, if you believe me, I am very cognizant of what the virus has done for individuals and how difficult it is to get welfare and how some people can't get welfare and how if you want a small business loan, you can literally call and stay on the line for 3 days straight and not get heard.
And get
Hang
nothing.
On a second. I'm getting somewhere.
Sorry.
I realize that there is to say, well, oh, you know, you can't open this is you haven't really thought everything through. I mean, that could be true, but you haven't thought it through because it's costing people quite literally their lives. I mean, they can't work. They can't make money and they're moving in 11 to a home. Believe me, I know a ton of stories about it from things I've read and from people I know. However, they can't conduct business in a different way just because there's a pandemic. I mean, this happens pandemic or no pandemic. And if I don't look at it as I mean, baseball is what it is, and it's not, it doesn't relate to that people don't have jobs. People don't have jobs, then you got to look at the way that the pandemic is being handled. But I don't think it's baseball's responsibility for everyone to go kumbaya hold hands.
I do. Well, I think it is baseball's responsibility this time around to read the room and conduct negotiations accordingly because the fans do contribute a little bit to their well-being.
I understand that, but you are taking this negotiation way more personally than most people.
I love baseball. Right. I like baseball a lot, and what they've done to the sport.
I like baseball a lot.
Sucks. It does.
Well, listen, there's people talking about, I heard Maz talking about this, you know, make it every season a 70-game season and do this, da-da-da-da-da. That's not the way to fix baseball. The thing that shorten the seasons to a season to 140 games. What do I care? Give them more off days. But the thing about baseball that's reassuring is that it's always there. So if you shorten the season and let every team into the playoffs, I don't think that makes me a an elitist to baseball elitist or traditionalist or whatever. And I don't know how I'm way off topic here, but I don't know how moving the DH into the NL improves anything.
Well, Fred, you're right. It's like John and Dan Roach, two guys you thought would be happy that baseball is back, because in the end, baseball's coming back right about the time that we had all hoped it was going to. Right around, right. Maybe give or take a week or
maybe.
So. Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's going to happen. And they're still pissed. Whereas the casual fans, like, okay, good, baseball. But it's like these hardcore guys think that there's this sullied, like this soiled reputation. And to that I say, listen, baseball sucked for a while. This didn't really make it suck that much more. It's still kind of sucky. But having it back, can't anything make you happy? The thing that you love is finally returning. And you're still pissed off.
He like, holds them to almost like Catholics hold the Pope.
Right, right. Like, although not like, my mom. She's got problems with this.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay.
It's been a while.
I can imagine why. But I mean, like John, like it's not even playing. It's like, but it is cute that, and I'm not. I don't even mean it to be. It sounds like I'm being more of a prick than I intend to be. But I do think it is cute that you think that like Major League Baseball owes it to people to get together because of the virus.
Yes, I do. I think for the better of the game, play ball. Both sides don't like the deal. Perfect.
Wallach's one of those guys that every time he says the word baseball, this like pops into his head.
Well, he just said play ball. All right, so we'll be right back.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. Yo, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic.
Yo, 98.5 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and I know we're going to talk about working out here, but I want to hear a really like snarky email that I got.
Sure.
All right, it's regarding the Peloton, the bike I have at the house, where I realized that when you get a numbing of the nuts and penis, that can become permanent. John's a doctor friend told him such as well. And listen to this. So I sometimes have struggle with the Peloton seat that it makes that happen, and then I get nervous. Says, Fred, regarding your Peloton and the seat, You should not be riding the thing with the same seat or sit up.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.